It's been the location that we've been the past couple weeks, just talking about how God is working on us. And the song's entitled, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." All right, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Everybody got a copy of the song? All right. How many of y'all God's still working on you? Amen. All of us, amen. Everybody got one? All right. All right, Gregory's going to help me sing this, then we'll read our scripture, and then we'll pray afterwards, amen. So take that out first. Again, I said this is our theme song because the verse of scripture that we're looking at is being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So Gregory knows this better than me, so he's going to help me. I know that he's still working on me part. I know what it means, amen, but I struggle on the other parts. How many got the other parts down pat? Amen. You're in the same boat as me. All right. Amen. All right. Here we go. He's still working on me.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. The mirror of his word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me.
Amen. Thank you, Gregory. I appreciate that. Giving me some assistance on that. Amen. I'll get it. One thing I need is repetition. Amen. I'm a repetitious type of guy. All right. Philippians 1:6. If you're there, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read that one verse. Starting off, we read verses 1 down through 6 and gave the background of what's going on here. Paul is writing a book of joy to the believers at Philippi, encouraging them, and every chapter is filled with joy, although he's going through some difficulties. He's got joy in spite of circumstances, in spite of people, in spite of worry, and in spite of some other things. Amen. But praise God, you and I can have the same joy confidently and indefinitely in whatever it is that we're going through. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, let's read that together. Here we go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and I do thank you that you're working on us. You have begun that work. You will continue that work, and that work will one day be finished when you come to take us home. But until then, Lord, help us to be confident, and Lord, indefinitely, knowing that that process is going on right now. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need tonight. Instruct us in your word, Lord, and encourage us most of all to just have that continued steadfast confidence indefinitely in the work that you're working in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, picking up where we left off last week, we're talking about how we can stand strong with confidence indefinitely. Amen. By the way, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, do we? No. But we do know that he said what? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. Amen. We want to stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, he is slick. Notice what he's doing to our nation right now in the sports arena. He's got those that are trying to protest by kneeling against the flag. And then you've got the other side of saying you shouldn't do that. And they're protesting this, going back and forth. Amen. Over foolishness. Amen. You got millions of dollars. Protest somewhere else some other time. That's just my opinion. Amen. I'm being in the military. I'm a fond of my flag. Amen. And I think everybody ought to stand for my flag and respect my flag. That's my own personal belief. Now, I know these guys have their own personal views and they've got millions of dollars. But most of them didn't go to the military and put their lives on the line. And they've got a bunch of millions of dollars and they're fat, dumb, and happy, not literally speaking, but y'all know what I'm saying, amen. And so they're trying to protest and say things like that and get mad at the president. And so the 700 Club, and I don't advocate you watching the 700 Club, but Pat Robertson said that our nation is being judged because they're disrespecting the president. There's some truth to that because the Bible talks about praying for those in authority, amen. By the way, we don't respect the president. The respect is going to go right down the drain, amen. It's going to go right down the drain. And so you and I have to stand confidently and definitely through all of this. Got fires in California. Got natural disasters happening. You got a gunman in Las Vegas shooting people. And you and I, as God's people, have to stand through that, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again and he's coming soon. And so we're talking about standing strong with confidence. And by the way, we talked about earlier standing with courage because of the inheritance we've got. G2's got a Pastor Pirate story to read to the youngins, amen. And you know how they do? They graduate you and they tell you, you got to come back and be an alumni and read, amen. And now he forgot his brim, so he's got to get his top hat, amen. And I think that's just right, amen. You graduate out, you go back to being a blessing and assistant, amen. Help out. So I just like that, praise the Lord. So we're talking about standing. We have some inheritance, we've got that. God wants us to stand with that with courage. But now he wants us to stand confidently, indefinitely, knowing that he's working on us. And by the way, he's using life's situations to work on us. Like it or lump it. Amen. I don't like it any more than you sometimes. Amen. But that's what he's using to work on us. Amen. And so we've been looking at this this theme, and we saw the reality is that he says down there, being confident of this very thing. That's the reality, that he hath begun a good work in you. That's the reality. We've been started. By the way, everything that God starts, he does what? He finishes it. Amen. You go back from the beginning of time, everything that he starts, he finishes. And by the way, he started with Christ coming out of eternity into time to go be born as a baby. He grew up, and guess what? He accomplished what he set out to do, and that's die for you and I. What he starts, he finishes. Amen. And by the way, you and I that are saved, been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He started it, and guess what? He's going to finish. He's coming back to get us. Amen. It's not over yet, and praise God. And I'm looking forward to that. And so we talked about the reality. We have to stand strong with confidence. Indefinitely in the beginning of the work. And then we talked about number two, the remedy. The remedy, he says the rest of that, he will perform it. Notice verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it. And so the remedy now, or standing strong with confidence indefinitely, is in the continuing of the work. He's working on us. And what do we talk about? Three things that God uses to work on us: bullies, other believers, and the battles of life. I don't like bullies. Never did. Never will. Say, preacher, were you a bully? No, I was never a bully. Now, I got bullied, but I wasn't a bully. I'll never forget that time at the Boys Club, the infamous family called the Creels. It was about 13 of them. Most of them was all boys. I think they had one girl, maybe two girls. Even the girls were bad. And there was a little Creel there, and I was a plump little boy by standards, amen. Today I would be called probably slim, amen. But I was in the basketball there, and I had the basketball, a bunch of basketballs all over the place. And I'm playing with my little ball, minding my own business. Mind you, I'm at the Boys Club because my mother said she's going to make a man out of me because I was a sissy because I had all sisters. And so she put me down there with all these thugs and criminals and crime stoppers. Amen. And I went down there and I'm dribbling my ball, minding my own business. Out of nowhere, I hear this shout, "Give me the ball, fat boy." And I look around. There's no other boys around that resembled that remark except me. And I look back at him. He said, "Yeah, give me the ball, fat boy." And I'm thinking, I don't have to put up with this. And I went home, amen. My mother said, you better get back down to that boys club and get down there fat. I said, but mom, they call me fat boy. And I guess my mom said, well, you're getting back down anyway, amen. And so you're always going to have bullies. I don't care where you're at, you know, whether it's at your job, whether it's at the school, whether it's and next door to you, you're going to have bullies. They're going to call you names. They're going to do things to you. And you're going to have battles. And these battles are not going to be battles that you actually ordered. They're just going to drop down like Joshua's battles. They're going to come into your lap, and there are going to be some things that you and I are going to have to battle. We're going to have to stand confidently through these battles. And then, lo and behold, you're going to have believers against you. You hate to say it, but you are. Not all believers are going to like you for your godly stand. Amen. Some believers are going to actually talk about you for your godly stand. Amen. And so we began looking at David in Psalm 27. So go over there with me. And we began looking at Psalm 27 because David is a good picture of some of the things that we may have to stand through with confidence and definitely through this remedy process that God is dealing with in us. David dealt with his battles, he dealt with his bullies, and he dealt with some believers as well. By the way, Paul dealt with his believers as well. In Philippians chapter 1, he would say that. You don't have to turn there. But he said this verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are made manifest in all the palace and all other places. Notice what he says. And many of the brethren, he called them brethren, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Notice this. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. So there actually were some people against Paul preaching, knowing that if I preach, Paul gets beat. Amen. And so he says, hey, look, I had my bullies too. I had my battles too. I had some believers against me as well. By the way, not everybody's going to like you for your godly stand. Even in your own family. My wife and I go home, say we're going to church. They look at us. They talk about us. But guess what? We go to church. You talk about us all you want to. I mean, hey, just because they're your family, just because they claim Christ, just because they claim to be saved, doesn't mean a whole lot. Amen. And we invite them, come on to church with us. And some have come. Amen. Others have not. Amen. But back in Psalm 27, we're looking at David here because David had his share of bullies, battles, and believers against him. And we began saying that, first of all, in verse number 4 of chapter 27, David's desire, standing with confidence indefinitely. And notice what he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. We looked at that last week. Whether on earth or in heaven, David said, I want to see God, I want to talk with God through my circumstances. And then verse 5, David's distress, standing with confidence. And you and I have the same ability to stand with confidence indefinitely. David basically says, God, he's always going to see me through. What is verse 5? For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Will you and I see trouble? Yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. Are we going to always like the trouble we see? No. But you know what? Who always sees the trouble? God. He said, in time of trouble, he shall hide me. So David, dealing with his bullies and his battles and his believers, he said, you know what? I can stand in my distress with confidence indefinitely. And then we saw up there in verse number 6, David's delight, standing with confidence indefinitely. He says, and now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's delight standing with confidence indefinitely. David says, God's always going to cause me to come out on top and allow me to rejoice and sacrifice and have joy and praises in what I do. Remember I talked about the weebles, wobbles, but they don't fall down. Sometimes Christians are like that. You go back and forth. How many remember the weebles from when you were a kid? Amen. That was the thing back when I was a kid. You get them weebles, they get knocked all around, but they always stood, guess what, upright. I mean, you can take that thing and stick it on its head, and it's going to fall and come right back up. That's the way Christians ought to be. We ought to be standing no matter what comes our way. Are the winds going to blow? Yes. Are the battles going to come? Yes. Are the believers going to be against us? Yes. Hey, is it going to always be good? No. And so that weevil gives that representation. You know, I can go all around, amen, but I'm going to always stand. You know why? It had some weight underneath it. You know, if you've got something to stand on, you'd be good to go. And that's the word of God. Amen. And so David said, you know what? I've got some delight in standing. But then he says something else here in verses 7 through 12. He talks about his deliverance, standing with confidence indefinitely. His deliverance through life's battles and bullies and believers. It's all about God and it's all about you if you're honest when you're going through it. Somebody say, man, you know it. I mean, you get into woes and you're saying, God, why me? Why now? Why here? Why do I have to go through this? Why does this have to be this way? Notice the personal pronouns that David uses in verse number 7. Notice that. Hear, O Lord, when who? I cry with what? My voice. Have mercy also upon who? Me. And answer who? Me. When thou saidest, seek ye what? My face, my heart said unto, my heart, amen, said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will who? I seek. David said, hey, look, I need your help. When you and I face our bullies and our battles and we're going through believers that are just unjust to us and we're going to try to stand confidently and definitely, we've got to go to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I cannot do this. I cannot fight these bullies. I cannot fight these battles. These believers are against me. I can't do this, Lord. And David said, look, I, Lord, help me. I need help. Amen. And through life's battles and bullies and believers, we've got to cry out to God. Notice verse 7, 8, David says, you know, I can stand indefinitely because he hears me. He says down there, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. Why did he need mercy? I don't know. But he said, I need it. Have mercy and do what? Answer me. He said, God, I'm giving you a request. And Lord, I need you to answer me. Now, God will always say what? Wait, yes, or no. You know, sometimes you may have to go through the battles and the bullies and the believers, and God is not going to rescue you. And you've got to go through it. That's not to mean, not to say that he's not there with you, because he is. But he said, no, I'm not going to rescue you right now. What did he say? Yea, though I go through, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'm going to walk through this, which means I'm going to come out on the other side. God is with me. I got to go through some hard times, but God is there. And he said, look, Lord, I need you to answer me. And God may say yes, he may say no, he may say wait, when these bullies and these battles and you and I have to confidently stand, what am I saying? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And this is what he uses. Did he not use Babylon against Israel? Did he not use Assyria against Israel? Did he not use some of these other nations, heathen nations, against Israel to get them to where they needed to be and to make them what they need to be? And sometimes God uses bullies, battles, and other believers to get you and I where we need to be. Now, we wouldn't prescribe it that way. But God does. And David says, hey, look, Lord, I need some help here. I need you to hear me. I answer me, Lord. I'm in trouble. And so David said, he's near me. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. Answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, he said, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, I'm seeking you. In verse 9, David said, not only is he here, hear me, but he said, he's near me. Verse 9, he said, hide not thy face far from me. He can see me and I can see him. David said, he's near me. Think about it. You got to be in close proximity to see somebody's face. I said, don't hide your face. What do we do with the kids? Peekaboo. Peekaboo. I see you. And the kids get a kick out of that. Peekaboo. And you're not far away at all, are you? You're right there. What are you doing? You're hiding your face. Peekaboo. Sometimes we go through things that seem like God's hiding his face. Like he doesn't see us. But he's right there. And we can be going through something with that. Lord, I got these bullies. I got these battles. I got these believers. It seems like you're just hiding your face playing peekaboo. When you think that, just remember like the kids, he's right there. All he's got to do is do like this. And by the way, God is not hiding his face. It seems like he is sometimes. And obviously David's got a situation going on where it seems like his face is hid. But he says, now, hide not thy face far from me. Whatever David did, asking mercy and saying, Lord, answer me. He said, when you said, seek my face, your face will I seek. He said, Lord, so don't hide your face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. David said, you know what? I may be guilty in this situation. And so, Lord, I need you to help me. Don't hide from me right now. I got a difficult situation. I got some bullies, got some paddles, got some believers. Lord, I need you. And so when you look at this, David said, he hears me. He answers me. He's near me. He's not far away. And I like verse 10. He'll take me. He'll take me. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That's a way of saying when everybody else leaves me, God is not going to leave me. When everybody, think about it, who do you normally most often say I can go back to? If nobody else take me, I know my parents will. If my mom's alive, my mom will. If my dad's alive, my dad will. I know my parents with somebody. Somebody's going to take me at home. I know that. And so David is saying, when everybody else forsakes me, when family forsakes me, when friends forsake me, when all of my familiar friends forsake me, when everybody forsakes me, God's going to take me up. I understand. I know that. I may be guilty. By the way, I told you all this before, and I'll tell you again. My mother said, I don't care what you do, boy. You can always come back home to me. I might not agree with what you're doing, but I'll still love you, and I'll still take you up. So I knew I had a place to go. When it all fails, I know I had a place to go. And I do trust that you feel the same way. Hey, I know I've got someplace to go. David said, when everything fails, he'll take me up. When family, familiars, and faithful friends forsake me, I can stand confidently because I know God will take me up. He's still working on me. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work will perform it. Notice what he says in verse number 11. He'll teach me and he'll lead me. David said, you know what? He's going to teach me what I need to know. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me. So David said, you know, Lord, teach me what I need to know, because obviously you're trying to teach me something through these believers, through these battles, through bullies. You're trying to teach me, and I need to learn that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. By the way, God doesn't take you through anything by mistake. He wants us to learn something through everything we go through. And David has the humility to say, Lord, teach me what I need to learn. Teach me. You know, if something as simple as we're not as young as we used to be. It could be something that simple. You're not as young as you used to be. I had a heathen doctor. He had to tell me that, son. You're not as young as you used to be. Well, I knew that. But you know what the doctor said? You're not acting like that. You're not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan retired. So why are you trying to be Air Jordan still? Well, I still got the moves. So does Michael, but he ain't putting them on the court. Sometimes when we ask God to teach us, he might be saying, open up your eyes. It's right before your eyes. You're not as young as you used to be. Slow down, son. Get some rest. It could be something as simple as that. Exercise before you get out there, son. Do this, son. It could be something as simple as that. David said, I don't really comprehend all of what's going on, Lord, but I know one thing. I'm teachable. You know, when bullies and battles and believers come against us, we got to say, Lord, I'm teachable. I'm teachable. Got to be humble. Just heard that last Sunday. I got to be humble. Teach me. And not only he says, teach me thy way, he said, lead me. In other words, he's saying, Lord, you lead the way. If you instruct me what I need to go, here I go. I'm right behind you. Amen, Lord. Teach me. So David, as he's saying, he's still working on me, saying, you know what? God's working a great work in my life. And he says, teach me and lead me. And I like what he says here. Notice verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. The word plain there means a level path, something that's not uneven. It's not unstable. It's level. You know, you can lose your footing real quick. We were at Brother Kiefer's home, and they had a slope that went down to all the animals. And Brother Serge said, Pastor, you sure you want to go down there? You twist that ankle on one of those uneven spots. Amen. I try to brave on down there. And you know something with kids? The more I went down, you know what they wanted to take me? Further down. There's something about going further down. It's a long way back up. How many of y'all went down to Grand Canyon? You went down with ease? And you try to go back up, and you were. David said, I need an even plane. I need to be level. Lord, give me a skip. Just move the obstructions out of the way. Make it so where I can actually walk even. And that way I won't trip. He said, Lord, Teach me thy way. Lead me in a plain path. Why? He says, watch out for this stuff. You know, why did he say that? Notice this. Because of mine enemies. The word there means those who are observing me. They're watching me. And they want to see me fall. They want to slip. They want to catch me in something. By the way, anyone that's on the offense always watches the one on the defense. And they're watching. And so when bullies are there, when battles are there, when believers are there, mind you, somebody's watching. My wife says she was at the store today and a lady, gun dropped out of her purse right on the floor. And guess what? People were watching that. And she said, oh. I said, praise God, the thing was on safe. You know, that thing could have discharged and shot somebody. I mean, to fall out the purse right there. I mean, somebody was watching that, to saw that gun. Now, I'm sure a lot of folks were kind of like, you go your way, I go my way. You might get store rage. Ain't no sales in here. Pow, pow, pow. The way people are going today, man, you saw, you got a gun. I'm away from you. Amen. People are crazy. But she didn't do that. Praise God. And so David said, he'll teach me. He'll lead me. He said, because my enemies are observing me. But then notice what he says in that last verse, verse 12, because we're going to start with that one. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. He said, they're observing me and they want to get me. He says, deliver me. After saying, teach me, lead me, he says, deliver me. Not over unto the will of mine enemies. Why? False witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He said, God, they don't have anything good to say about me. It's all false. Everything is a lie that they're saying about me. And so, Lord, you need to really deliver me from this crowd. Sometimes the bullies are going to be that way. Sometimes the battles are going to be that way. Sometimes believers are going to be that way. I don't know about you, but I do know God is using these things to work on you and to work on me. And as he's doing that, he wants us to come forth as gold. What do you say? Being confident of this very thing, that's the beginning, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it. That's the continuing. What does he use sometimes? Bullies, battles, and believers. Paul had him in Philippi. You're going to have him at your job. You're going to have him at your school. Our job is to stand confidently knowing that he's not done yet. He's not done. How long, Lord? Don't know. But I do know this. He's working. It says he will perform it. That's assurance. He will perform it. And so I can confidently stand indefinitely knowing that he is working. Do I like it? Not always. Do I like how long it takes? Not always. Do I like what the bullies do? Not always. Do I like the battles? Not always. Do I like what believers say? Not always. But you know what? Through it all, you and I have to stand. If we don't stand, who will? This nation is getting darker and darker and darker. More and more Christians are trying to blend in to the ecumenical movement, trying to blend in to all the other things out there that don't riffle, that don't ruffle. Trying to get involved with the Joel Osteens of the world and all these that aren't going to cause sin. To make you and I look like some fanatics. And we're approaching that time. You just look at where we're at right now. The players have a right to kneel. What about our flag? What about what's right? But they have a right. We're getting there, folks. We're getting there. Somebody's got to stand through it. I'm glad that the commissioner, I'm sure he had a lot of heat, made the statement they should stand. I'm glad. I took them long enough to do it. And it didn't come until folks start boycotting stuff and they start losing money. But finally, he said, they should stand. I like what Jerry Jones said. If you don't stand, you don't play. I like that. What was that? Who was that? He was?
Yeah, but not during the
oh, no, I'm talking about during the anthem. Yeah, they can find some other way to protest. But I agree. If they don't stand for the national anthem, they really shouldn't be allowed to play. I mean, that's just my own personal opinion. But They have money, but I'm so glad that God has the last call.
Amen.
Aren't you glad it's not about football?
Amen.
And although I love my flag, it's not about that flag. It's about the flag of Christ. It's about that red, white, and blue. Amen. And I love my country, love it dearly, but it is the flag and the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. Let's wave that flag. Amen. The commissioner, he should have said that, but he's trying to pick his battles wisely. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness tonight. Lord, help us as we go out. We're going to have battles. We're going to have bullies. We're going to have believers against us. But Lord, we want you to get the first place in our lives. And Lord, we want to be convinced that, Lord, the reality is that you have begun a good work in us. Lord, the remedy is that you will perform it, using sometimes battles and sometimes bullies. And Lord, sometimes other believers, you will perform it through the things that we go through. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. David is a good illustration to us that although he's facing a dilemma, it may have been his fault, it may not have been his fault, but he had some things going on, some battles, some bullies, even believers that were against him, but he was convinced that I'm going to be confidently standing indefinitely no matter how long it takes. And help us to have that same confidence indefinitely, no matter how long it takes. Work in us, work through us, help us to embrace life's battles, life's bullies, and life's believers, knowing that you're working on us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.